Welcome to the Sounds of Success, brought to you by the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. This audio magazine is a tool for generating profitable ideas and for taking your business to new levels of excellence and performance. Here you'll find real-life case studies of school owners just like you who have applied our proven successful business and marketing principles to their school and are creating the business of their dreams as a result.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us again. I'm Stephen Oliver, CEO of the National Association of Professional Martial Artists, joined by Inner Circle member Steve Giroux. Steve, tell us a little bit about your school and your background. And first, I should say, welcome to our conversation today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm honored and I appreciate it. And I hope that, you know, I can help some other school owners, get to different levels of success from wherever they're at today.
Absolutely. Hey, let's start with a little bit of background and history. Tell about how you got started in martial arts and who you trained with and how you ended up as a school owner.
Okay, well, I started my training very long time ago. I was just a kid. I was 7 years old, 36 years old now. Kind of started in the competition world and fighting is. As soon as I got my black belt, so I think I was probably about 11 or 12, and then have been competing ever since in point fighting. And we had a unique opportunity happen when I was a teenager. When I was 13 and my brother was 15, my instructor was a state police officer, and he had a job transfer. So the school went up for sale, and we took it over with the help from our father, who's an accountant. He kind of ran the business end. My brother and I were teaching the classes, and we had a lot of really early experience with the overall operations of the studio, you know, dealing with parents and, signing people up, teaching kids. So did that all through high school. That was my high school job. The school itself didn't actually make a ton of money. We were doing pretty much everything wrong. Biggest thing was not having students on contract. We didn't have a billing company. We did all that stuff in-house. Really, really cheap rates. I think at the time we were charging like $55 or $60 a month. So I do remember, my father having a lot of issues with being the bill collector. You know, people were delinquent or whatever, so that was one issue. And then overall, I think the school probably, made about $20,000 to $25,000 profit. So at the time, as a high school kid, that was, huge money. I mean, it paid for a car and, any expenses that I had related to school, prom, that sort of stuff was always taken care of, school vacation. But as an overall thing, it really wasn't, highly successful. Then I decided to go to college in Boston for business. And, one of the things I remember was there's a real success. I actually one of Chuck Norris's karate studios, and I remember hearing stories, and just other background, I'm part of the United Fighting Arts Federation, and I'm a 6th degree black belt in Chunk-Kuk-Do, which Chuck Norris is the founder of. And but again, I was I have a lot of friends in the organization. I remember hearing about this one school in Virginia Beach that was grossing $1 million, and they're one of the reasons why is because it was run by accountants. So my whole thought process was that I was going to go away to college to study accounting so that I could own my own school and, kind of be both people, the instructor and the finance guy. I also chose Boston because at the time there was a lot of really good, top-rated fighters in the area. So that was another thing that I wanted to kind of coordinate with my education, that I was still training and working with some of the best fighters, So that's how I kind of ended up into the Boston area. And then, one of the things that I missed the most was running my karate school, because as I went to college, we tried keeping it for a year or two, and, it was just too hard when I wasn't there to run it. We had instructors. It just ended up kind of fading itself away. So my whole thing when I was in college is I really missed it. I knew that I loved it. It was, sometimes it really takes you being away from something before you realize how important it is and how much you actually miss it. So, I studied accounting. When I got out of school, I went into, I worked for General Cinemas Corporation in the accounts payable department. So I started there, and then I needed to find a place that was close enough by that I can get to teach karate classes, starting after work, like around 5:30. So that's kind of the issue right there, how I started my school. I started working full-time, and then I ended up in the area I'm in because it was close to where I was working. And, you know, one of the things I found out years later is that the demographic that I chose to start a school in was very, very expensive. And I was kind of blindsided to it because at the time I just needed a real small space, and I lucked out. I got a basement space paying like I think $900 a month. My utilities were, you know, total about $200. You know, we had like a little wall heater and, you know, slash air conditioner in one. So anyhow, I started there. I started with zero students, really didn't have much business getting into it. But I built it up. Took me about 3 years. I joined Educational Funding Company. They, you know, kind of helped me along with getting myself on the right path. And then I expanded into a 4,500 square foot location, which was really the eye opening experience for me to see how expensive the area that I chose to run a business is. And since then, we've moved one other time just this past January. And you know, it's been a pretty interesting journey. But I've been through a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of experiences that I'm sure a lot of, you know, new school owners are faced with. And all in all, it's been a very rewarding experience, but, you know, a challenging one at the same time.
Sure. And Steve, I know that in the last 12 months, you pretty much doubled your growth, and that's phenomenal, and certainly at a time when a lot of people are struggling and striving. But before we go into that a little bit, you, like many other schools, have been hit by recession, staff problem, customer or student problems. Give us some thought of some of the challenges you've faced the last couple of years.
Okay, well, I'll be completely honest. This last few years has been the most trying time for my business. And it's funny because, you know, when I first went into business, you know, everybody said, oh, most businesses fail within the first year. And then, when starting out, it's always like, you know, you look at it with an optimistic eye that it's going to get better, but it's hard. And, you know, you get yourself to the business every day to just keep pushing. I've been through hard times, many hard times. I mean, that first stretch of 3 years before I even broke even was definitely difficult. And I made it past that, and eventually was able to quit my day job and move to a full-time school owner. Bought my first house, you know, had a nice car, was able to really start reaping the benefits of, going through those trying times. And we did an expansion about 3 years after to the new location, and that again was a little tricky because we had, was only 2 miles away, but being near the city, I ended up losing half my clientele because of the distance over the course of the first 2 or 3 months of the move. So that was pretty challenging, but we, you know, fought through that and was able to get it back to the highest profit we ever did. I think we were like around $260,000 for 3 or 4 years. So then I threw a party for my 10-year anniversary because I thought, you know, hey, I made it past this milestone. I mean, it was, you know, a lot of challenges and finally got to that point. I flew a few of my friends in to do some seminars and, you know, some fighting seminars, and we, you know, rented a hall, and, you know, it was just all in all a real great time. And at that point, shortly after, that summer was when I experienced the biggest challenge that I would ever face. So this is going into, I guess, year number 11. What happened was we had an issue with an instructor and a student where there was some accusations of sexual misconduct. And it was, pretty stressful times, you know, going through something like that and not really knowing what the outcome was going to be. I had, you know, just fears that I was going to lose everything and that, you know, we'd be all over the news, and I didn't really have any of the facts. And so it was just a really stressful time. I think it's important just to sidetrack a little bit because I learned a few things from this type of experience. And, you know, one of the things I think that we all experience with growing pains is we understand that we have to loosen the reins and kind of let go of some of the tasks. And, you know, it's important that you have people that you can trust, but it's also important that you have rules in place so that you can avoid things like this from happening. I really don't think that there's anything I could have possibly done different in this situation besides maybe just being a little bit more strict on who's able to run classes and that sort of thing. But, you know, long story short, we're 3 years from that situation now, and it does appear that nothing actually did happen, although another byproduct of this was that now I was served in a lawsuit last year from the instructor that left, and he's basically, you know, suing me for character, what's the word? Do you know the word? Whatever. It basically, you know, he's going by saying that, you know, he was wrongly, whatever, all this stuff. And, you know, to be honest, the whole thing to me, I'm not taking it very seriously because I didn't do anything wrong. I basically just handled the situation. I had an upset parent. I had, you know, other families that were concerned, and I, you know, did what I had to do. The thing that I think would help school owners is that, you know, here we are 3 years later, and I get hit with something like this, and when I called my liability insurance rep, I asked her, you know, when all of a sudden I started to get, like, some formal letters, and I asked her if I was covered under this umbrella in the event that something happened, and she told me flat out, no, not at all. So as we got into it more, and I had some, you know, advice from others, including yourself, I you know, got legal representation, obviously, after I was served. And the first thing that my lawyer did was he had, like, an outline of different things that would be covered under the general liability policy. So during this, and this is actually right when I joined NAPMA, I got hit with this lawsuit shortly after. And my whole thing was, the realization of it is that if my liability insurance didn't cover it, I would still have to fund the defense. And even though I personally did nothing wrong, and I knew at the end of the day when this thing finally wraps up, you know, in 2 years or whatever, that, you know, I'm not going to lose, you know, but in the end, if my liability insurance policy didn't cover it, I would have probably been out, you know, $30,000-$40,000. So that was a very, very stressful time for me, because not knowing that they were going to cover it, it actually took about 2 months before I found out for sure that they were going to cover me 100%. So anyhow, that's just a kind of a side thing I'd like to note for school owners, to make sure, you know, you have a good general liability policy. Make sure that, yeah, I know some school owners I've talked to that just, you know, rolled the dice and never got it. And, you know, I would, you know, definitely make sure that's something you got, because for me, my understanding was, okay, if I'm negligent, let's say somebody's sparring and they twist their ankle, as long as an instructor's there to watch it and make sure that it's controlled, we're still not going to be in any trouble. And that was my whole worry ever about having liability insurance. And then when this kind of came up, you know, it was something that I would have never in a million years thought that I would have to be concerned with. So that was one of my challenges that happened. And during that time, what's up?
Before you breeze past that, let's analyze a couple things that are buried in what you just said. Is no matter what you do as an owner, there are times when employees, whether they're actually paid employees or whether they're you know, students who are volunteering, when they'll do things that are out of our control. And what we have to do in our environment is we have to have a clear employment contract. We have to have clear policies and procedures in place, and we have to have trained and made it clear about what our policies are from a standpoint of appropriate social interaction with students, inappropriate social interaction with students, what's allowed and what's not allowed. And it's so important, number one, because you can stab off a problems that might come up otherwise if you just make sure that it's really clear where you stand on all those kinds of things, because there's an endless number at one end of things like sexual molestation, at the other end just sexual harassment type of things, where you have people who are staff or quasi-staff trying to date students. All that stuff is inappropriate, but you've got to define it ahead of time to protect yourself. The second thing is, I know a lot of school owners don't have liability insurance, and that type of professional liability that you're talking about, as well as injury liability. You said it a minute ago, but it's so important to anchor in, is
right.
Just because you're sued doesn't mean you did anything wrong. And a lot of times we think, well, I'm not going to do anything wrong, and therefore you know, nobody's going to be able to go after me. Well, hiring an attorney and defending yourself can be $25,000, $50,000, $150,000. And so oftentimes just the process of defending yourself is the expensive part, win or lose. So you've got to make sure you have insurance. And insurance for a martial arts school is so relatively inexpensive. You know, we both know that there's several very good companies out there, K&K and Rule and a few others. And for, I've always found a good liability policy is cheaper than car insurance. And the amount of exposure we have can be pretty high. I mean, you know, in my case, amazingly, with five or six schools that I owned outright for 25 years, I only had, I think, two or three different incidents. Somebody sued me, but any one of which could have been a six-figure problem if I hadn't had an insurance company to, you know, to handle it. So it's very, very important not to gloss over those things. But let's go on a more positive side. After those various challenges, you've had a really dynamic and incredible last 12 months. So let's talk to everybody about what some of the home runs you've had in the last 12 months and how those occurred.
Okay. Well, basically, you know, once we got through that, it was right around the same time that I met with you and Toby. You came out to Boston to do a one of your conferences, and I remember seeing the ad that you had sent out, and it said add $100,000 or more to your gross. And of course, I'm sure like many others, you kind of so how are we going to do this? And you know, when I went and talked with you guys, you basically changed the whole way that I run my school. And you know, I haven't been in business for a while. A lot of the basic elements I had in place, you know, like I mentioned, I was an educational funding client for a while. I had hired a personal, you know, consultant for a while. And so, you know, a lot of the basics I was already doing. But, you know, one of the things that you told me to do initially is you got to upgrade all your students. You know, you got to get them paying higher rates than what we're charging. And, of course, that's a challenge. And, you know, you kind of got me on the right foot with the price point, you know, based on our demographic and what the overhead was. So then I got to work on that. As a school owner myself, I know that a lot of school owners have a tough time implementing. You may hear a great idea, and then, you know, you just don't act on it. And I think that's probably the biggest mistake that a lot of schools make when they're trying to get to new levels. And what I did was I actually implemented it 100%, and that was the first part of my strategy to you know, kind of bringing my school back to a high level. And another thing, you know, that you said, it wasn't just raise the rates, you know, and I think initially my thought was, all right, so I'm going to just send a mass email to all my students, let them know that, you know, we have a rate increase. And, you know, after talking to you, you told me that I had to do it one at a time, and you know, or one person at a time, one family at a time. And obviously, that's a lot more time-consuming. We're all very busy. I know for me, especially then, I didn't have many pockets of free time during the week that I would be able to sit down with all these families. So that was a big challenge, number one, is making sure that I had the time. But you know, once I figured out the rates and to go over my rates charge for Black Belt Club, Masters Club, in Junior Black Belt Club, and I'll explain kind of how I did that and why we call it what we do. But I did the recommended $497 down payment, 36 months at $229 a month. I also added an option to do a lesser down payment with a higher monthly amount. So we did $197 down with $249 a month. And then we did the third option, which was take our current rate, multiply it by 36 months. So at the time it was $159. And we did that times 36, and then I think it came up like 5,724, something close to that. So what I did was I put together notebooks at Staples. I bought for $5 each. I bought them with the clear front, you know, pocket that you can just slide a piece of paper in. So I personalized all the notebooks, and then I categorized them based on a three-year mark for my students. So what I did, I actually added a Junior Black Belt Club, which is 3 years, basically like anybody that's like a blue belt in my school, orange belt in my school. So I said, okay, from this point you know, it's going to probably take this student 2.5 to 3 years to get the junior black belt. So that was what categorized those students. So I put probably, I don't know, maybe 15, 20, 25 of those kids in that. Another issue that I had is that because of the recession and these other issues that I had going on, because of my lack of efforts, and then with the recession, we didn't get the new students that we normally did. So September of 2009, you know, normally I was getting 30 new fresh white belts every fall, and then this one year, I only had 4 new students sign up. So what I was really dealing with was a lot of black belts and higher belts at my school, and no new students. So, again, it was real important for me to upgrade all these students and get them paying a higher price point. So, I did that with the Junior Black Belt Club, and then I moved into Black Belt Club. So I did the same thing, and these students were probably like brown belts or red belts. And I said, okay, we're gonna take these students up to first degree black belt. And in our program, we have to do a junior black belt first. So, you know, I did the same thing. I subtracted 3 years from the time somebody should get the black belt, and we put them in that group. And then I did my master's club, which was for all of my black belts. And I actually am fortunate to have very good retention. So even during all these downfalls, I didn't really lose many students. And I, you know, have probably 30 plus black belts at my school, first degree, second degree, and higher. So what I did with them is I basically just called it the master's club, and I did the exact same thing. I said, okay, you know, 3 or more years from now, you know, you're going to be a master rank in our style, which is chunk cooked out. So I said, okay, these are the things that we have to do. So that's the first thing I did was categorize and get the notebooks. I have a really high-quality color laser printer. So I do, you know, all my own, you know, marketing and printing. So I printed everybody's name on it with, you know, a logo in the middle, whether it's junior black belt, or master's club, and then their name on it. And then when you open it, I had my rate sheet in the front pocket, which I, you know, saved, obviously, to discuss with the parents. We had the kid, you know, leave the room when it came to that time of the meeting. And then as far as the meeting with the student, I said, okay, you know, you're at a point now where, you know, you have to be thinking a little bit more seriously about your karate. You know, it's not like when you were 5 or 6 and it was all about the games and all that stuff. That's important. But now you're at a point where we have to start looking at the future and what we have to do to get you to the black belt level. And, you know, we talk about it's a commitment. It's not mom and dad that can make you do the karate. It's not me that can make you do the karate. It has to come from you. So it really has to be something that you know, you're committed to. And, you know, mom and dad like that, too. I think that's important that they're part of that meeting and they, you know, we're having that talk with their child. And then in there, basically, it was just kind of a real quick welcome letter. And then I did a timeline for all the students. So I showed them, you know, estimated when they should get, you know, to the next rank or to their black belt or their junior black belt. And even for master's club, I did the math because we have, you know, years in between each degree to get, you know, your fifth degree. You know, and that was kind of cool for them because some were like, wow, I'll be like 22 or 23 when I'm a master, you know. So it was, you know, just something that there's no guarantee, but we kind of just charted it out for them to start getting them to really think about that. And I think the other thing that helped with is getting mom and dad to be more comfortable signing the 36-month agreement. That, okay, we see where we're going to be in 36 months. It's not just we're just going to keep going to class and, you know, like a gym membership, right? I mean, this is something that, you know, we have a goal and we're all together, you know, me, the parents, and the student are going to work towards. And then just, you know, put some other stuff in. And with my organization, they actually have on their website, they have all the requirements for first degree. They have the combos that they call out. They basically chart out the whole task that anybody can look at. So I just made it easy for them and printed it all and put it into their notebook so that they have it, you know, kind of ready for them and available. That's how I basically did the first part of the rebuilding of my studio, and it worked great. I'll be honest, I didn't get $100,000, but I think I was also working with a lesser amount of students. So as far as the track record and percentages go, I was very successful. I mean, I lost one student in the upgrade process who, at the meeting, I found out they were actually planning on quitting anyway. What happened was I ended up getting about, I looked from back then until now, I've gotten $10,000 in down payments. So that was something that I added in. I never used to do down payments at all. It used to just be, you know, this is your monthly membership or whatever. So I added $10,000 right off the bat from that. And then I brought in a little over $50,000 and paid in full. So, you know, those families that did the option number 3, which was 159 times 36, I had a handful of them do that. And, you know, it came at a really good time. I was able to, you know, kind of clean up some stuff. As I told you, I moved my studio. So, you know, that alone was probably about a $25,000 expense between the contractors and kind of getting, you know, setting shop up with everything. So, but all in all, that was the first thing that we did that was really kind of got us on our way.
So when you went through, how many students were you talking to about doing the new upgrade programs?
I would say probably about 50 or 60, because I had more students than that, but, you know, I tackled that was the main group that I was tackling. And, you know, the others, I had some students that were just coming once a week. They're in our little kids program. I had a couple students that I was letting come once a week, even though they should have been coming twice a week. So that was another thing I cleaned up, where I got them paying, you know, the new rate, which for new members coming in, it's a $200 down payment, $197 a month. So I kind of, you know, had some challenges with them, but I got them all over to that. And, you know, that was really because, you know, I'm very busy. You know, I got a lot of stuff on my plate. And, again, I think that making the time to do all that stuff was the biggest challenge, you know. But it was well worth it, you know. I mean, it was something that I, you know, I scheduled spots on the weekend. I scheduled spots during the week. I stayed until 10 o'clock some nights meeting with families. And, you know, by the first of the year, I had probably 75% of those upgrades all taken care of. And then within the next, you know, couple of months, I got everybody else on them.
Well, so let's start with the first wave. You had maybe at a high of 60 people, converted about 75%. So somewhere between, what, 32 and 40 people. Do you remember exactly how many?
No, I don't. But I would say it was at least 50. 50 is probably a pretty accurate number to go by.
Okay. So you did about 50 upgrades, and out of that, $10,000 in down payments. You never did down payments before. $50,000 in paid in fulls. So $60,000 cash, and that probably leaves another, 40 times an average of about... let's see, it looks like $70 or $80 a month increase in payments, right? So if it was 70, that's an additional $3,500 a month. So in the next 12 months, that would have been $42,000. So $60,000 cash, $40,000 increased payments, that's $102,000 just from that one renewal blitz.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I think the other thing is, too, that it goes on and on, you know, like these students aren't quitting either. So the dollar amount that I've added to my school is, you know, going to be way more than that just by getting them all paying the new rates. And, you know, and I think what I'm dealing with, like, you know, it's hard to get people that have been paying a lesser amount to switch. I'm actually dealing with a little bit of an issue right now with one parent who, you know, I gave him a discount to pay a year in full, and now I'm getting him on for the regular rates, and he's trying to get me to do, like, half off for his kid. And, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge when you're dealing with, you know, the people that have been with you for so long. But, you know, again, I think that by meeting with them one-on-one and, you know, just being a person yourself and talking to them about, you know, what your plans are for the school, you know, try to stay as positive as possible, but, you know, just let them know that, you know, there's... You know, just, I mean, for my personal thing is, I mean, I think, you know, years ago, I jumped into the karate school business, you know, 14 years ago, right out of college, not really having any rhyme or reason with what I was charging, lucked out, got a super cheap place, and then, you know, kind of increased my rates a little bit throughout the years, but it clearly wasn't correct, you know, and not for what we have in overhead and stuff. So, you know, I think that's something that I know a lot of my families were, you know, understanding of. You know, clearly they have houses and mortgages in that area, and they know that it isn't cheap to be there. And, you know, everything around you is kind of, you know, relative. You know, every class around you. I mean, if you do karate in a area that's, you know, pressed or whatever, I mean, you know, depending, again, you know, $229 a month is a lot of money for certain families, but I think for where I'm at, it's not that people can't afford it. It's just kind of, you know, persuading them and educating them on why they should be doing that and looking at more of a long-term investment for their kid and, you know, what good is going to come out of them paying that amount.
Sure, sure. Well, and what happens is anytime you're now looking to charge them at a higher level than what you charged them before, there's got to be a rationale for it. And just raising the rates, can work, but certainly having an expanded product, having an upgrade where they're learning more stuff, where it's more exciting, where there's more benefit, is very compelling. But again, in your case, you went through a little renewal blitz in your school, talked to about 60 students, that generated $60,000 cash. And you were in the process of a relocation, so it helped fund that and liquidate some debt. Plus, it created at least another $40,000 in just the coming 12 months. And most of those were 36-month contracts, so really, I guess you could multiply that by three. So you've got 120 plus 60, you've got $180,000 that you generated just from having these conversations with these people. So that's certainly worthwhile.
Yeah, and the thing is though, where I get frustrated is that I want everything to happen right away, obviously like all of us. And this renewal blitz took a lot of time, and unfortunately, some balls were dropped or I wasn't able to put everything in place for new students, and it took some extra time. But going on to the second phase, after I got that situated and figured out and I readjusted my rates altogether. Now I have it all kind of working for me. So we have $200 down payment to start, $197 a month for students. Still, we offer a 10% discount, which I think comes out to like $170 or something like that for a second family member. But it's still a pretty good price point, I think, for people coming in. And just this past September, I signed up 25 new students, all at the new rates. So that alone is huge. Because, I used to charge $139 for new students coming in. So, I mean, the difference in that, is just awesome. And then the same thing this month, we've gotten a couple already. It's just been really good. And then, one of the things that I've also been trying to do, I know a lot of schools have issues in the summer. We, have had plenty of issues in the summer. This past one was the best that we've had. We didn't get hit as hard, but one of the things I'm trying to do now is get everything on monthly. I use Member Solutions to do my billing. We use Volo, which is the management software, which has been great, and that's really been taking a lot of time away from just that management piece. But what I really want to do is get everybody on monthly, because for a long time I was doing private lesson memberships that we would pay them in packs, kind of like a gym does. And we'd have some other things where, I'd have students pay for 6 months in full or whatever. And, the cash flow is, it was nice to get a little bit of a bump once in a while. But I'm trying to eliminate as much of that as possible and just get the monthlies up. And that's been working out really well, too. And that's really where my focus is now, is just trying to get everybody onto the monthlies. I don't care what kind of karate or membership you do at my school, that's where I want you. And, like I said, with that new software that we're using, it just... it makes it so much easier. Everybody checks in online. I bought a tablet for the school. It just stays at the school, and my instructors check everybody in. My staff actually checks in online, and altogether, that's been really helping. And then the third phase, and kind of went together with everything, is I worked really hard on systematizing my school during this process. And I've had some systems in place and been successful with some, but after I did the Orlando meeting last year, I learned a ton of stuff at that one meeting, and I immediately started implementing stuff. And
that's the Peak Performance Inner Circle meeting we did at Disney.
And that was actually the first one, because when I joined, I wasn't able to make the one that was out in Colorado. I had another commitment, so my very first one was out in Orlando, and I was just amazed at how little I knew, and how many things that I actually picked up from it. I think for me, I'm in a little bit of a unique situation. We actually moved closer to our family. We have two young kids, we have another one on the way, and it's just in that dynamic, we made a decision to move further away from my karate studio. What that actually did too is it kind of forced me to outsource certain tasks, and you know, I think even if I was near my karate school right now, I would still have all this stuff in place because it just has freed up so much of my time to work on things like growing my business and getting new white belts in the door and marketing strategies and all these other things that we all have to do too. But one of the things that I did is I joined Pat Live, which is the call center that you guys have recommended. The kind of thing that kind of goes with that is they have an online scheduling appointment plus service, and that's been huge because mainly for my introductory lessons, I use them to set up appointments. The other thing I did was redo my website. You know, taking a look at that and kind of pointed out some different things. I think the biggest issue I had with my website, it was more of a billboard versus a lead capture. So I bought Infusionsoft and I got an opt-in form on my website. And then, you know, they get the automatic emails back. But what I do is they go to the website, they opt in, they get an automatic email from me saying the next step is to schedule a free introductory lesson with me to call the studio, which is actually the call center. And, you know, the call center has all my open spots for introductory lessons. And that alone has been working so great for me because, you know, again, I got a lot of things going on, so I do follow up, probably not as good as I could, but by having this in place, it kind of takes, you know, a lot of those steps away. You know, most people actually do set up the appointment. You know, we both get emails. They get an email. I get an email. I show up to the studio. I teach them their introductory lesson, and then from there, I do my whole, you know, membership sale, and that's really been working well. Out of the 25 new students that I just got, I would say 90% of them came from my website, and then in that exact same process where, you know, they called the studio on the call center, and then they scheduled them in for the intro. So, you know, that's actually been working really well for me, too, and, you know, the thing is that there is a cost associated with that, but, you know, for the call center, I think it's like $200-$250 a month, and, you know, the automatic email is probably another $200 a month, but the way I look at it is, you know, if I had to hire a personal assistant to actually do all this stuff for me, it'd be way more than $400 a month, you know, and so it's something that I know as small business owners that, you know, we're all the half. It's a really inexpensive and efficient way to outsource some of the important things that you need to be doing.
So, Chris, overall, if you were explaining to somebody really what I think I called you Chris Chief. If you were going to explain to someone what some of the benefits have been of now being part of the Peak Performer Inner Circle program. I know a lot of people have heard about it, but they're, you know, either kind of skeptical or they're just unclear what it's all about. How would you explain it to them? What's been the value? What's the return on investment? How has it impacted your life?
Well, I think, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head with return on investment, you know, and I know a lot of people, you know, look at a price tag and just kind of stand back and say, I can't do it. You know, it's too expensive. I can't afford it. The way I look at everything is a return on investment, you know, especially for my business. You know, I mean, if we're talking about personal things, you know, you can be a different person when you buy personal things, right? You make sure that, you know, you have the money or you, you know, if it's really something that you want, it's a luxury, whatever it is. I mean, those are decisions that you can really kind of take a closer look to. I think when it comes to business, every single time I've paid money to do something for the business when it relates to, like, education, it's always more than paid for itself. And, I mean, we're going back probably 10 years now. I when you did the extraordinary marketing package, I bought that. I think it was like $300-something bucks. I learned a ton of stuff from that. Keith Hafner had put out a marketing thing. It was $1,000, and, you know, same deal. I was like, oh, man, I don't have $1,000, but I did it. And it actually, I mean, I still use some of the stuff when I'm designing my ads from that. So the return is continually coming back to me. You know, with relation to the Peak Performers Inner Circle, you know, it's kind of the same thing when I went to that meeting and I saw, you know, $12.97 a month. I'm like, man, that's a lot of money, you know, and especially at a time when I was, you know, kind of in a down with the business, with all those things going on. But I did. I took the leap of faith, and I did it. And, you know, I have to say, I'm very happy with my decision. I mean, my school is completely different right now. It's not exactly where I want it, but, you know, it's on the way. I mean, we're adding, you know, $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 a month to our gross continually. You know, and it's something that I hope doesn't end. But, you know, really, it's just been a big return. You know, I mean, and even those close to me, they look at me and say, you pay $12.97 a month, and they do look at me like I'm crazy, but it's almost like they're blinded by that number that they can't see the other side of it. I said, well, yes, but even just take the renewal, let's just take the cash alone and say, okay, well, I joined this, and I got $60,000 cash that I wouldn't have gotten had I not gotten this information, right? And, you know, I think just people are just blindsided by that high number. And, you know, I think any school that's at the level where they're really trying to grow, they're kind of stuck at a plateau, you know, and that's where I was. I mean, for me, this has been huge. I mean, it's, again, I'm not where I want to be just yet, but it's something that I have everything in place now. My rates are priced, you know, at a really good price point. My systems are in place, and, you know, there's just always things that I'm going to be learning that I know are going to continue to bring in money. So, you know, as long as it's always a return on whatever your investment is, for me personally, I don't look at the price tag as much. So I would definitely recommend it for anybody that again, is at that level that wants to move quickly. You know, I mean, you can always make the decision to kind of just trudge away at it, learn the hard way, you know, make some mistakes, or, you know, you pay a little bit more and then, you know, kind of fast forward your progress. You know, I'm sure that anybody else that's in the group would say the same thing, that they've made, you know, leaps and bounds by implementing some of the things that you guys have been teaching.
You bet. Well, and as you said, it's always about return on investment. It's just like, you know, I often talk to friends and family members over the years about the money we were spending. You know, as you know, I talk about it a lot, is I've always spent at least $100,000 on my own education development every year. But and that always pays back 10 or 20 times the investment. But I know it's just like advertising and marketing. When I talk to you know, failing or small school owners or friends and family about the amount of money I've spent on TV or in the newspapers or in direct mail, and they always have the same reaction. You're crazy. How can you possibly spend that much? Why are you throwing that money away? But if you spend $100,000 and get back $1 million, you've got a better investment than real estate, stock market, or any other possible investment that anybody's ever shown me. And as you just talked about with, like, even that renewal blitz, I mean, you paid for any support and coaching and meetings and everything you're getting from Peak Performers Inner Circle for 6 or 7 years. So it just in a couple months. So it always pays for itself. Hey, you know, we have really chewed up a lot of your time, and I'm sure everybody really appreciates your contribution. Maybe to summarize a couple of things you said. One is, very cleanly and efficiently, you implemented a renewal system that accomplished a couple of things. One is it accomplished about $60,000 in cash deals all in about a month. Number two is you went from 159 to, what was it, 229 or 249, depending upon how they structured it, on a new renewal system, thus having an average maybe about $70 a month bump in payment. Third is, which we haven't talked about a lot, but you've got a completely revamped website that we've gone over, a dramatically improved follow-up system that we've helped set up, and now your enrollment flow is zooming up to and including just last month at about 25 new enrollments that are all at a price point that's, what, about 30% higher than what you were charging before. Is that a fairly good summary?
Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at, and you know, like I said, I feel like all the very hard work is done now, and now it's just, you know, we just got to fill the school with more new white belts, you know, so it's, again, with all these other things in place, I'm able to shift my efforts to that, you know, because obviously as school owners, our time gets eaten up on a lot of different things, and, you know, so through the outsourcing and getting all these systems in place, you know, that's really where we're at right now, so, yeah, it's, like I said, it's all been really, really good, really beneficial.
Yeah, and as you discussed also in the call, just to summarize, is, you know, you got punched in the nose a couple times with several things that were completely out of your control. And, you know, there's that book that I wrote quite a while ago. We've updated it a couple times, but Everything I Wish I Knew When I Was 22. But I sat down with a lot of my friends, and including some that are, you know, the icons in the industry, but reminded him of the chapter in there that you know, it's never as bad as you think it is. And
right.
You know, when you get hit with something out of left field, if you just take a deep breath and deal with it smoothly, you'll always make a strong comeback and not let it freak you out. Of course, your results this year are proof positive of that.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it is difficult when that stuff happens, but, you know, you got it right. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in any business that hasn't had challenges, you know, and if they tell you that, I think they're liars, you know. It's just something that you have to, you know, unfortunately you can't change it, so you just got to deal with it and try to stay positive and just keep moving forward and, you know, going after your goals. But, yeah, and then hopefully the same problem doesn't hit you again, right, if you learn from it and then, you know, you got things in place. I know I learned quite a deal from this past few years on those types of things, and, you know, I doubt that anything similar will ever happen in my school again. Number one, because my instructors all beat them myself. But number two, I think it's something that is just, you know, policy-wise has to be a little bit more organized than just saying, okay, you get a black belt, you get a key to the studio, you know, and that's something that a lot of us do, you know, unfortunately. So.
Well, yeah, you've got to have a clear policy, and then you've got to police it and enforce it. And, you know, to me, the best policy is always that you're very clear on expectations, and you're very clear on everything ranging from no dating to no socializing to, you know, the appropriate type of touch and so forth. So it's very essential to do a lot of training on that. And, again, from your own liability, you can't control every other person. And you may at times have staff members who do things like that, but if you made it very clear, is it shifts the blame more from you to them and prevents a lot of the liability issues that could go with it otherwise. Well, Steve, we're a little over our time limit here, and I really appreciate it, but if you were going to leave everybody with one or two quick words of wisdom, what might it be?
Just never give up, right? Just keep at it and keep trying new things, and don't be afraid to try new things, and especially when, you know, you learn from Stephen Oliver and Toby Milroy. I mean, these guys have been around for a long time. They've made the mistakes, and they've had years and years of experience. So, you know, the stuff that they're teaching is it works, you know. And there, again, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel, especially in our industry. You know, we have so many people that are willing to share and help that you just have to be the one to do it. You have to be the one to implement it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time, and I'm going to get a commitment from you for us to do a follow-up. There's a whole bunch of things you've done real well we haven't even had a chance to talk to touch on. But this has been fabulous. Thank you again, Steve, for your incredible contribution and willingness to share. And for everybody else, have a great afternoon and great rest of your week.
All right, same to you. Thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.